Hello and welcome to the Footvey English podcast in collaboration with World Football Index, a unique mix of fandom and journalism. Footvey English is your one-stop shop for all things Venezuelan football in the English language, from the men's to the women's and the domestic leagues to the national teams. Today we will be looking at Venezuela's participation in the 2023 Toulon tournament, the Maurice Reveo. It was Venezuela's second consecutive participation in the prestigious invite-only tournament, and we will be going through how it fared for La Vinotinto in today's episode. ...2023 has already been a year full of youth national team football for Venezuela, meaningful competition as well, with the under-20 and under-17 South American championships having already taken place. Venezuela have qualified for the under-17 World Cup that will take place later this year, having reached the final stage and qualified. And at under-20 level, Venezuela also reached the final stage of the South American championships, but fell short of qualifying for the under-20 World Cup, which has coincidentally just finished with Uruguay beating Italy in the final. Well, for Venezuela and the Toulon tournament, the team that was taken by Ricardo Valiño was a good squad, a mix of under-17 and under-20 national team players and a few older heads who played last year, plus Liga Footvey top scorer Loifer Hernandez with 8 goals at the midway point in the Liga Footvey season. He's 22, smashing them in for Academia Puerto Cabello. Hasn't had much national team involvement at any level up until this point, but his strong start to the season was rewarded by Valiño. So let's take a look at the squad in brief. Fran Carlos Benitez of Caracas and Charles DeMarco were the goalkeepers for the tournament. Charles DeMarco was called up from the US with his possible inclusion in the under-17 World Cup later this year a reason for his selection. In defence, there was Luis Cassiani of Caracas, Yandro Rapp of PSV in Holland, having formerly been capped at youth national team level for the Netherlands, Andres Ferro of Metropolitanos, Rafael Uzcategui of Mineros, Jesus Paz of Real Zuliano, Stephen Pabon of Metropolitanos, John Aramburu of Real Union Club Spain, Carlos Vivas of Deportivo Tátira, and Luis Balbo of Famalicão in Portugal, another player already capped at youth national team level for another country, in this case Portugal, and again with an eye on his possible participation in the under-17 World Cup later this year. In midfield, Abraham Bajachili, Telasco Segovia, Brian Ortega, Andres Romero, Emerson Ruiz and Yerson Chacon were returnees from last year, and they were joined by Tuti Andrade of Deportivo La Guaira, a player who hasn't had much youth national team involvement through the ages, but is a very hot prospect in Venezuela, shortlisted by The Guardian in their end of 2022 Next Generation list as the 2005 pick from Venezuela. And up front, Daniel Perez, Heriel De Santis, Saul Guarirapa, all 2022 veterans, were joined by Santiago Rodriguez of Caracas, Loifer Hernandez, as previously mentioned, of Puerto Cabello, and Brian Alcocer of Mineros, his move to Boston River of Uruguay, already pending following 5 goals at the under-20 South American Championship earlier this year. As mentioned when we went through the team list, there were a few new faces, not just to the Venezuela youth national team, but to Venezuelan football in general. DeMarco, the goalkeeper, Yeandro Rapp, the defender, Luis Balbo, another defender also. The three of them being looked at for the under-17 World Cup later this year, which Venezuela qualified for. Neither of those three were involved in the South American Championship to qualify for the World Cup, but were taken to Toulon to be observed with a possible look at a call-up. And A fourth being Juan Arango Jr., who initially was called up to the pre-tournament module alongside two or three other under-17 players, but did not make the cut initially for the Toulon tournament. He was a late addition after Telasco Segovia eventually dropped out of the tournament. He made his first team debut for Sampdoria the day before the tournament began and was left out of the first match day, but in the end completely dropped out to be replaced by Juan Arango Jr. Now, interestingly, none of those under-17 youth national team players saw minutes at the Toulon tournament. In fact, seven players didn't see any minutes at the Toulon tournament at all, alongside the previously mentioned under-17 national team players. Luis Cassiani, the second choice right back, also did not receive any minutes. And neither did Rafael Uzcategui, who played very well for Venezuela's under-20s at the South American Championship earlier this year. He is at sinking ship Mineros, who are hemorrhaging players left, right and centre. They are in a financial dire straits with many players without pay for around 3 months. Uzcategui's departure from Mineros is probably imminent. Supposedly he has four options on the table, with the best option coming this side of the water, not in Europe. But let's see how and if anything materialises before the end of the summer transfer windows. If not, he is out of contract at the end of the season and will almost certainly be leaving Venezuelan football. Mineros look very much now the favourites for relegation from the 15-team Liga Footbade. Into the midfield, Abraham Bahachili also did not see any minutes this tournament. He was a flittering presence in the tournament last year. It was a difficult 2022 for Bahachili after a very successful couple of seasons with Metropolitanos. He was hoping to move outside of Venezuelan football, but complications actually saw him go an entire 12 months at club level without a club. The Toulon tournament was actually the highlight of what was a pretty disappointing year for him. The kind of off-field matters that can hamper a young player's career were in full swing last year for him, unfortunately. And he was the only player outside of the defence that failed to see minutes in the Toulon tournament this year. So, moving on. Last year, Venezuela reached the final of the tournament, losing 2-1 to host France, or de facto host France, after taking the lead in the final, but also later having a man sent off. Strong tournaments from John Aramburu, right back, and Telasco Segovia in the midfield saw them become two of 10 players from the tournament who were at the time playing their football, their club football, outside of Europe and subsequently earned moves to Europe. John Aramburu moving to Real Union Club in the Tercera of Spain, where he's just finished a very impressive debut season. And Telasco Segovia to Serie A Sampdoria. Unfortunately, his first season at Sampdoria has ended in relegation for the club, his first team debut coming on the final day of the season. But it was a positive for Venezuela to finally compete in the Toulon tournament. It was their debut in the competition. And for it to be followed up for a second consecutive participation this year was a very welcome bit of news for all involved in Venezuelan football. This year, Venezuela were drawn alongside France, as well as Costa Rica and Saudi Arabia, in a format that only automatically qualifies first place for a place in the semi-final. The fourth semi-final spot goes to the best place, second place team out of the three groups. And the format of the tournament dictates that any draws are followed by a penalty shootout used to allocate an additional point in the group stage. And as we will get into, this was one of Venezuela's three main downfalls this year, where their tournament debut success of 2022 was unfortunately not replicated in 2023. Venezuela's first game of the tournament saw them play fellow Latin American side Costa Rica. And they lined up with Benitez in goal, a back four of Aramburu, Ferro, Vivas and Paz, which would be the back four and goalkeeper for all three group stage games, A midfield duo of Ortega and Romero in the middle, flanked by Santi Rodriguez and Tuti Andrade, and up front, Saul Guararapa and Dani Perez. To begin with, the glaring omission from the starting 11 in the first game was not necessarily any particular player, but rather a position. A defensive-minded midfielder, a number six, if you like, was certainly absent from the starting 11. Whether that could have been Emerson Ruiz of Mineros or Abraham Bahagili of Deportivo Miranda is down to personal preference, and I think there would not have been much between the two. But the absence of one altogether was a concern and proved to be a problem for Venezuela, not just in game one, but in game two when it was not remedied ahead of the game with Saudi Arabia. But the first half had promise. It finished 0-0 at half time, but Venezuela had plenty of chances, and they actually finished game round or round one of matches with the most shots of any team in the 12-team tournament with 20. Tuti Andrade was particularly a handful down the left. Costa Rica was struggling to mark him with one, often using two or three players to silence him. So it's quite surprising when it was he, as opposed to Santi Rodriguez, who I think was off the wavelength, was replaced at halftime. Tuti Andrade came off. If I remember rightly, Yerson Chacon came on. But Venezuela in the second half continued with their attacking play and continued to rack up plenty of shots. Unfortunately, it was Costa Rica who scored first when Jesus Paz committed an error in the box and Costa Rica converted the subsequent penalty. But they were only down, Venezuela were only down for a matter of minutes when shortly after Brian Ortega's corner kick saw Loifer Hernandez, a second half sub, completely unmarked, and he finished coolly for his 10th goal of the season in all competitions, adding to his 8 in Liga Footvey and his 1 in Copa Sudamericana, which came against Caracas in the qualifiers. The game would finish 1-1 and Brian Ortega would receive the Man of the Match award in what was probably the main positive of the first game. It left the second game against Saudi Arabia looking like a must-win early on, given the format of the tournament. But elsewhere across the first game of the tournament for Venezuela, the main issue was a lack of clinicalness. Like I said, Venezuela racked up 20 shots in that first game, but only walked away with one goal. And also, I think the coaching staff let us down with the changes. I think it was wrong to take off Tuti Andrade. He was proving a real handful, whereas on the opposite flank, Santi Rodriguez, I really feel was not on the same page as many of his teammates. I think his decision-making was quite poor, but he stayed in the starting 11 for the next game, whereas Tuti would not start again in the tournament. In defence, John Aramburu was, as always, very solid, very reliable, but perhaps more impressively, Pipo Vivas, who up until four match days ago in Liga Footvey had not played this season, he really shone. He's played the last four games of Deportivo Táchira's league campaign. Deportivo Táchira haven't conceded in that time. And his performances at the Toulon tournament, not just in the first game against Costa Rica, but in the subsequent games with Saudi Arabia and France, have led to him being called up to the senior national team for the first time for friendlies later this month in the US against Guatemala and Honduras, if I'm not mistaken. And he was again very strong in match day two. Match day two against Saudi Arabia, the goalkeeper Benitez and the back four of Aramburu, Ferro, Vivas and Paz kept their place, as did Brian Ortega and Andres Romero at central midfield. Santi Rodriguez lined up again on the right wing. Yerson Chacon started on the left, and Heriel de Santis and Loifer Hernandez were the new strike partners, with Dani Perez, who'd come off at half-time in the first game, and Saul Guararapa dropping to the bench. Now, as I said, an absence of Emerson Ruiz or Bahagili in the sixth role in the defensive field role did lead to a lack of balance in the first game against Costa Rica, and I feel like that was very much the case again against Saudi Arabia. I understand the need for an attacking lineup and to try and get all 3 points after a draw against Costa Rica, but Saudi Arabia had actually won their first game of the competition on penalties against France. So, you know, there was, and with the second most shots in group stage to Venezuela. So there was a need to be aware as well. And the lack of balance in midfield, I think, showed again. Yerson Chacon was a positive addition to the starting lineup and played very well. But again, I think Santi Rodriguez getting a second chance, didn't take it. And he was subsequently dropped for the third game. But I think that that second chance, it was, for me, the wrong decision for it to go to Santi over Tutti Andrade. The game itself finished 0-0. It was a very tough performance to watch as a spectator, very frustrating. Again, Venezuela, they weren't without chances, but they did far from enough to warrant all 3 points. And you can't really come away from a game like that thinking that Venezuela were hard done by. They didn't do enough to beat Saudi Arabia. But there wasn't a additional sucker punch in game two as there was in game one. In game one, after the 1-1 draw, Venezuela lost on penalties to Costa Rica. But in game two against Saudi Arabia, Venezuela picked up the additional point, converting three of their penalties whilst Saudi Arabia missed three of theirs, including a quite comical Panenka from Saudi Arabia. But it left Venezuela really with not much going into the final game, and only a tight group, the tightest group of the three, leaving Venezuela with a chance of progression still. Game three saw Venezuela against France, a rematch of the Toulon tournament final from 2022, and a back four unchanged and goalkeeper went into the final game. This time, however, Venezuela lined up with a six, Emerson Ruiz getting the nod over Bahachili, with Ortega and Romero staying in the starting 11. Yerson Chacon was once again in the starting 11, but it was another change of the two other attackers, Jereo de Santis and Loy Fernandez, dropping out. Dani Perez coming back into the starting lineup from match day one, and Brian Alcocer getting his first and only start of the tournament. It started very well for Venezuela. Pipo Vivas at the back was again in peril. He really did have a fantastic tournament and has rightly got attention and plaudits from it. But it was the other end of the pitch that saw a Venezuela promise from early on. Yerson Chacon came down the left and his cross shot found Andres Romero at the back post unmarked for a very easy tap-in. Venezuela failed to capitalise on their early lead. However, they did defend it admirably right up until the final 5 minutes when they were still leading 1-0. At this point, Venezuela had only conceded one goal in the first two games plus 85 minutes of the third. It had come from the penalty spot. Venezuela were yet to concede from open play. But in near three full 90 minutes of football, they'd only scored twice. One, a converted corner kick from Roy Fernandez, and the Romero tap-in at the beginning of this game against France. And in around the 85th minute, Venezuela were made to pay for their lack of clinicalness throughout the tournament when France equalised to take it to 1-1. It was Venezuela's only conceded goal from open play in the tournament. And at that point, Venezuela were top of the group and had one foot in the semi-finals. Instead, they drew 1-1, and regardless of the penalty shootout outcome, it was going to then prove difficult for Venezuela to qualify for the semi-finals. But there would have been a ray of hope with a victory in the shootouts, but nevertheless, they lost 3-2 to a confident host nation. And that left Venezuela third in the group with no chance of qualifying for the semi-finals, and only their ranking game left to play. The highlight of that final game was that for the second time in three games, three group stage games, it was Venezuela, a Venezuelan player who received the Man of the Match award. This one going to Andres Romero after Brian Ortega had picked up the award in match day one. But it was more questions and more worries than answers and positives, not only at the end of game three, but also at the end of the group stages in general. Where was Tuti Andrade in the starting lineup after match day one? I think it's a valid question. The selections across the three games, for me, left quite a bit to be desired for. I was quite hopeful going into the tournament that Valinho, the Argentine head coach, would manage this tournament well. Batista managed it well last year. Valinho is a continuation of that coaching, and he had done well with the youth national team at under-17s, qualifying them for the World Cup and also taking over one of the modules of late back in Venezuela. But instead, there was, you know, a lack of the under-17 players that was hoping to get a chance at this tournament. I think particularly the fans were looking forward to seeing Yandro Rapp and Balbo, who respectively have been capped by the Netherlands and Portugal at youth national team level before. It would have been nice to see their involvement, but also the chopping and changing in the front line did not aid the clinical nature. Obviously, a tournament football is quick and fast and ferocious, but to have three games in three different strike partnerships, if you like, lineup was not indicative of settled decision making, and ultimately I think it cost Venezuela. So as I said, Venezuela finished third, unbeaten, and only conceding once from open play, but far from proficient in front of goal and often unbalanced in the midfield with the absence of a six in the first two games. In six games of Group A, there was only one normal time victory, and it was by far the tightest group, but that of no consolation to Venezuela. Liga Footbe returns at the end of the next week for the second half of the season. We will be bringing you the latest news, the results and analysis between now and October, when the final championship round will begin. Until then, I've been Jordan Florett. Thank you for listening and goodbye.